نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد إخوتي وأخواتي في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Last week we started a reminder on fasting and things to be avoided, particularly what the scholars would call the mufassirat al-ma'nawiyya, that is, things that are assumed to affect our fasting. And these are the things generally that do not have any direct link with the mufassirat al-ma'nawiyya, that is, the physical nullifiers or breakers of our fasting. We said, according to most scholars, things affect our fast, but not that the one who commits a sin that has no link with the physical nullifiers or breakers of the fast, that such a person will be punished for not fasting on the day of Qiyamah. This is what most scholars are upon, that one who commits a sin, such a person will have the reward of his fast reduced, and it may lead to him not having the reward at all. However, with respect to he being punished for not fasting, that he will not be punished unless he commits any of the things that physically, so to say, nullify the fact. This is the view of majority of the scholars, and that's why Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, as Ibn Muflih Al-Ambali rahimahullah ta'ala recorded in his book Al-Adab Al-Shari'iyya, it was said that Imam Ahmad said, لو كانت الغيبة تفكر ما كان لأحد منا صيام. If backbiting were to invalidate, that is, destroy the fasting completely, nobody will have fast. So this tells us that the Imam was of the opinion that embarking or engaging in things reduces the reward of the fasting, not that it nullifies the fasting completely. This, however, was not the favored opinion, or is not the favored opinion of Ibn Hazm. Ibn Hazm was of the opinion that anybody who commits a sin while the person is fasting, the person has lost that fast. that is a fast as unbroken. It's like he has committed any of the physical breakers of a fast. Something similar is ascribed to Al-Awza'i and some others. But what the majority of the scholars are upon is that it is compulsory on us to go away from things that Allah is forbidding. Outside Ramadan, in Ramadan, outside fasting, while we are fasting. Because engaging in them affects the reward of our fast, and it may lead to the loss of the reward of the fast completely. So what will be left is that the person will be without any reward. Though if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is punishing those who do not fast on the who did not fast on the day of Qiyamah, such a person may not be punished for that. But the reward that the fasting people get, that they get, they won't get it. So this is what majority of the scholars are upon. So, and we'll look at the huge reward of fasting. Nobody wants to miss this huge reward. So that's why we talked extensively on this last week. Today, inshallah, we'll be talking on Al-Mufattirat Al-Hissiyyah. That is, the physical breakup of the fast. Now we all know that the physical breakers of the fast is eating, drinking, and having sexual intercourse. Because this is clear from the verse we quoted last week, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُهُنَّ. Or before that, Allah said, وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنَّ. Then, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّوا الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. Meaning, during the time that you are abstaining from eating, drinking, having sexual intercourse, with the intention of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is called what? The fasting. So once you engage in eating, drinking, or having sexual intercourse, between the appearance of the true dawn and the sunset, meaning what? This means you have broken your fast. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ إِلَى نِسَائِكُمْ. It is only in the night of the month of fasting that you are allowed to have sexual intercourse with your wife. Said it is halal for you. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُهُنَّ. That is, henceforth you can have sexual intercourse with them, that is, from the night. You can have sexual intercourse with them at night. Wakulu, you can eat at night. Washrabu, you can drink at night. Hatta yatabayyana lakum al-khayt al-abyad min al-khayt al-aswad min al-fajr. Till the true dawn appears to you from, the true dawn appears. That is, the white thread appears to you from the black thread. ثُمَّ أَتِمُّ الصِّيَامَ. Then continue this abstinence. That is, abstinence from those three things mentioned. إِلَى اللَّيْلِ till the night falls. So, when they ask us what are the nullifiers or the breakers of fasting, we can easily say this. However, scholars, they differ whether some things fall under this or not. They differ whether some things fall under these three things that are mentioned or not. So part of what the scholars differ on is, which is, let us take it from drinking. The one who makes use of the inhaler, for instance. We know the asthmatic patient, they make use of inhaler, which you put in your mouth. This, if an asthmatic patient that is fasting makes use of inhaler, we know it goes to the lung. But let's assume that part of it escapes to the throat. Does that count as drinking? Does that count as drinking? Some scholars will say yes, it's like drinking. So the person has lost his fasting. The Sikh Academy, they discussed this matter, and after lengthy discussion, their resolution is that it does not invalidate the fasting. Because if at all water escapes to the throat, this will be very, very insignificant. It can be likened to the one who is performing ablution. When you perform ablution and you put water in your mouth to rinse your mouth, there is no how, there will be very little leftover of water in your mouth that will mix with the saliva that will go to your throat, however little. And it is permissible in the Sharia, in fact it is recommended, in fact it is compulsory to rinse your mouth while you are performing ablution, regardless of whether you are fasting or not, according to the Hanabila, as you have mentioned. Though majority of the scholars, they consider rinsing of the mouth while one is performing ablution as what? Mustahab. But the Hanabila repeat as wajib. But the fact that you are fasting, that doesn't mean you shouldn't rinse your mouth. You should rinse your mouth even when you are fasting. Even when you are fasting. So the little water that is likely to escape, however little that water is, because you feel the wetness, so to say, in your mouth. So this is likely to escape to the truth. So the majority of the scholars who said this does not invalidate your fast. That is when an asthmatic patient makes use of inhaler. It does not invalidate his fasting. It's just like the one who is rinsing his mouth. And this, wallahu alam, is a stronger opinion that the use of inhaler does not affect fasting for the asthmatic patient. Now another thing is some of the asthmatic patients, they also put a kind of a tablet or so under their tongue in order to assist them in breathing well. If they make use of this, does it invalidate? Or maybe some people have some problem with the act, that maybe some of these things, a tablet like that may be recommended for them. Does this invalidate? So what the scholars, the muhakkikun, are upon is that it does not invalidate. So it doesn't count as drinking or eating. Now, another thing is what we call the phlegm. You know, you as a fasting person at times, you try to bring out phlegm from the throat or so. Some people they tend to swallow it back. The one who swallows its flame, has the person lost his fat or not? Most scholars are of the opinion that if the person allows the flame to get to the mouth, that is already in the tongue area, so to say, and the person now decides to swallow it, then in that case, he has lost that fat. But let's assume that the person, the phlegm is still in the area of the throat. It hasn't gotten to the mouth. This does not invalidate because it will be difficult for him. So if he swallows this bark, it does not invalidate the fasting. So the one that scholars differ on whether it invalidates fasting is the one that is on the tongue, that has come to the area of the tongue, or very close to the throat, but at the same time close to the tongue. So this one, a lot of scholars, the Hanabila, the Shafi'i as well, they are of the opinion that it invalidates the fast. So it has the ruling of somebody who has eaten. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَكُولُوا أَشْرَابُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنْ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ ثُمَّ أَتِمُّوا الصِّيَامَ إِلَى اللَّيْلِ. So the one who decides to swallow the phlegm that has come to his mouth, they say such a person has lost that fasting. And this is the favorite opinion of Sheikh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. On the other hand, the Malikiyya, according to what is preponderant in their madhab, they have the opinion that following a flame does not invalidate the fast. When you swallow a flame, it does not invalidate the fast. They say this is just like the saliva. We know that the fasting one swallows his saliva, because the saliva is secreted and it goes around our mouth. So you swallow it often and often. So when you swallow the phlegm, it's like you are swallowing the saliva. So this is the view of the Malikiyya, that is the majority of the Malikiyya. And this is the favored opinion of Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala. Wallahu alam, on this matter, it is something that we should avoid, particularly when we know that scholars differ on whether it invalidates or not. So when we look at those who liken it to saliva, you can say maybe they have the argument is somehow strong, but when you look at the difference between phlegm and saliva, there's difference between phlegm and saliva. Saliva is not so, is something that you cannot do away with. Unlike the phlegm, this is something that you can do away with. Saliva keeps on coming. The phlegm is not like that. So in that way, if we look at it, wallahu alam. Those who say phlegm invalidates fasting when it has gotten to the area of the mouth, not in the throat now. When it has gotten to the area of the mouth, that invalidates fasting, their position is wavier. Wallahu alam. Wallahu alam. So this is another thing. So let us look at another aspect, and that is the nose. Some people, they make use of things like the pig, the vicks. Inhaling the vicks, does it invalidate fasting? This does not invalidate fasting. But if a fasting one inhales or makes use of dicks and the like, this does not affect the fast. Unlike inhaling something that will go to the throat, So if one inhales something like this, or snuff something like that, like the snuff that some people make use of, so this invalidates, because the nose is very close to the mouth in terms of what they use it for, maybe feeding somebody. And that's why medically, when somebody cannot take food through the mouth, at times they pass food through the nose for some patients. So, and that's why the scholars, they treat the nose and the mouth as al-manfad al-mu'taj, the usual orifice where food can go to the stomach. And this is buttressed by the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was advising Laqit bin Sabra radiallahu anhu. He said to him, وَبَالِكْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. Do your istinshaq, that is, inhale water when you are performing ablution. Do it well, unless if you are fasting. Meaning, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has established that if you are fasting, you have to be cautious with respect to what? Inhaling water, because this may affect your fast. So that's why anything that you go from the nose to the throat, down to the stomach, this is considered an invalidator of the fast. Unlike something that will not go to that extent, like the vix that you have mentioned. So, let's assume that some asthmatic patients, they make use of maybe the nose in some drugs, for instance. If this will go to the throat, down to the stomach, this will affect the fast. This will affect the fast. It will make them lose the fast. But if it will not go to the throat, down to the stomach, then the fasting or the fast is still intact. So let's go to the eye. The use of eye drop, does it invalidate fasting? A lot of scholars say, if you make use of eye drop or the ear drop and you feel it in your throat that you have lost the fasting, this is said by a lot of scholars, particularly scholars of the past. However, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala argued that the ear, likewise the eye, they don't fall under al-manafid al-mu'tada, that is, the usual orifices that food, so to say, can get to the stomach. So, to him, if you feel something in your throat, that doesn't mean it has invalidated your fast. So that's why scholars who believe that if you apply alcohol, the tiro, you apply it and later you feel it in your throat. So some scholars, they believe that you have lost the fast. That you have lost the fast. But what is more correct, Allahu A'lam, is that the fast is still intact. And this is the view of the Hanafiya and the Shafi'iyya, contrary to the view of the Malikiya and the Hanabila. So So feeling something in your throat does not necessarily mean one has lost one's fasting, if one is fasting, unless it is something that is seriously felt to the level that it can go to the stomach. Then in that case, it will affect the fast. But ordinarily, the eye and the ear are not considered to be what al-manafid al-mu'tada, that food can go through. So this is as far as that is concerned. So the more correct opinion is that you can make use of ear drops, you can make use of the eye drop. You can make use of the ear drop and the eye drop while fasting. So this does not mean that you have eaten or you have taken anything that affects your fasting. But out of the nose, if it's something that will go to your throat, particularly some of the things that people sleep in, so in that case, it breaks the fast. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Lafid bin Sabra, وَبَالِكُ الْإِسْتِنْشَاكِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. And do your istinshaq, your inhaling of water very well, unless if you are fasting. So, other thing that you are going to consider is taking of injection. When we talk about injections, we have the ones that can be said to be nutritive, the one that will serve as nutrients to your body, that is, that will go through the vein and will be carried by the vein and serve as food for your body. This, according to what most scholars are upon today, it invalidates the fasting. It invalidates the fasting. So most of these things that people take through the vein, the intravenous injections that have this nutritive value, so to say, so they affect our fasting. Unlike the ones that are meant for just ordinary treatment, like the treatment of malaria and the likes, the injections, they don't have any nutritive value, so to say. So those ones, according to what the Najamis appear upon, can be taken. So whether they are given through the nozzles, so these ones will not break your fast. But the ones that are given through the vein and they have this nutrients, so they affect your fast. Because when you eat, so the same thing that will happen to what you take through the mouth, what is needed will be taken by the blood. So if that thing is passed into your blood directly through the vein, so that shows what? It's like you have eaten. So, and that's why they said, what if you take injection that can serve as food, then you have lost your fast. That's why the fact that you didn't take it through the mouth. But if they are just for ordinary treatment, so what most scholars are upon is that this do not affect your fast. So definitely taking drips and the likes, what we call drips, all these solutions, definitely they will affect our fast. So the one who is taking drip and is fasting, so ordinarily what will make you take drip? The Sharia has already told you not to fast, has advised you not to fast. وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرَ. Well, let's assume somebody is fasting and the person is taking drip as well. So taking of drip has ordinarily affected what? Affected your fast. So this is what most scholars are upon. Now, somebody is being examined through the anus, for instance. Maybe they want to pass something to the colon through the anus. If what they are passing in is something of water and the likes, or something that can serve as food and things like that, definitely this affects the fast. And that's why the suppositories, you know, there are some tablets that are inserted in the anus of some patients. So these suppositories, so if they are put, so they are considered as things that will break one's fasting. So the one is fasting and makes use of suppositories, or makes use of the enema and things like that, all this break the fast. But let's assume that a kind of object is used to examine maybe the colon of a patient without having anything, adding anything to it, except maybe some oil that you make that thing go in, so to say. This does not affect the fasting. I hope it is clear. Or let's assume that a doctor, for instance, inserts a hand, or a finger rather, in the vagina of a woman. This as well does not invalidate the fasting, because it doesn't have anything that has to do with what watery thing that is going in, going to the maybe the colon, or going to other places, that or going to the stomach, so to say. So this, according to what is the correct view, must not affect. But if it has something like that, then it affects the fasting. So these are things that we ought to take into consideration when we look about, when we talk about eating, drinking, and having sexual intercourse. Now let's go to the aspect of sexual intercourse. The one who practices masturbation, according to majority of the scholars, he has lost the fasting, because it's like having sexual intercourse, only that it's not as bad as what having sexual intercourse in the month of Ramadan, during the day of Ramadan. Having sexual intercourse with respect to the fasting one is the major invalidator, that is the major invalidator of the fast. And that's why the penalty on it is worse than, or is more severe than the other invalidators. We know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the one who practiced it to do what? To set free a slave. And when he said he could not, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he should fast 2 months consecutively for having had sexual intercourse just for some minutes during the day of Ramadan. Why he was fasting, and the wife was also fasting. And why he was fasting? So the punishment is very serious. When the man could not do that, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he should feed 64 people. So this is a kafara of the one who engages in sexual intercourse while fasting in the month of Ramadan. The one who not masturbates, what is the punishment? What is the penalty? Majority of the scholars, they said, the one who masturbates while fasting in the month of Ramadan has lost that fasting. Why? They said he has enjoyed himself. And Allah has said, يَدَعُ شَهْوَتَهُ وَطُعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي أَوْ يَتُرُكُ طُعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He will abandon eating, drinking, having sexual intercourse for my sake. So the one who masturbates during the day of Ramadan, while fasting, the person has enjoyed himself. So majority of the scholars have said in that case he has to pay back that day. He has lost that fasting. It's simple and he has to pay back that day. The Malikiya, they said it's the same thing as having sexual intercourse. So he has to do kafara. He has to do kafara. So this is on masturbation. Though Ibn Hazmi and some others, Sheikh Al-Albani among the contemporary scholars, they have the opinion that masturbation does not invalidate fasting. So to them, if a fasting one masturbates, fasting is still intact. Only that is sinful for masturbation. For masturbating is sinful. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا عَلَى أَزْوَاجٍ أَوْمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ, those that do not enjoy themselves except through their wives or their right hand to say it. So whoever look for other means apart from this, he said what? They are the adud, the transgressors. And that's why some scholars who consider masturbation as a younger brother, so to say, of something of jima, so to say. So this is not something that is okay. But does it invalidate the fasting? This is where Ibn Hazmi, Sheikh Al-Albani, and some others, this is what is not accept. They said if you say it's like Jama'ah, then you should watch. You should call for kafara, which is the view of the Maliki anyway. But for you to say it just invalidates the fasting and the person has to pay back, then that means it's not like Jama'ah. Where did you get the evidence? But since majority of the scholars are upon this, and most of the scholars are upon this, it is good when one is fasting in Ramadan, or you are fasting generally, avoid masturbating. Though masturbating elsewise is not something that is okay. But when you are fasting, you should also go away from it to be on the safe side. Now what about madhu? That is the light watery item that comes from the one who is thinking about a sexual relationship between him and a woman, or between her and a man, or thinking about is of somebody playing with his wife or playing with her husband. So that fluid, the life fluid that comes, that doesn't make one weak after it comes out, that one may not even feel that it has come out. This, according to most scholars, does not affect our watch, our fasting. Though there is a view in the Maliki school of thought that al-madhi also invalidates fasting. Al-madhi also invalidates fasting if one deliberately engages in it. If one deliberately engages in it. So this is on what? On فَالْآنَ بَاشِرُهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to go away from having sexual intercourse with our wives. So masturbation is considered as an invalidator of fasting. Nadhu isn't considered by majority of the scholars. However, that doesn't mean you cannot play with your wife, with your wife or your husband while fasting. Aisha radiallahu anha said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, "Mada yahillu lirrajul sa'iman min imarati?" What is permissible for a man in his wife while he's fasting? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Kullu shay' illa al-nikah." everything except what? Sexual intercourse. Everything except sexual intercourse. And that was why Aisha رضي الله عنها said, Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يباشر وهو صائم. He would play with us while fasting. He would play with us while fasting. وكان أملككم لإرضك. But he is the one that can control his, that can control his organs, or that can control himself most among you all. Meaning it will not lead to what? It will lead to ejaculation. And it will not lead to what? Insertion of the male organ and the female organ. Both of which break fasting, as you have said. Ejaculation without insertion calls for qadar, paying back. Ejaculation plus insertion, or insertion only calls for what? Kafara. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could control himself that this will not happen and this will not happen. So the same thing can be said of kissing one's wife. Umar radiallahu anhu went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, what, I've committed something serious this afternoon. And Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what was that? He said, Qabbaltu imra'ati, I kissed my wife. Wa ana sa'im, why fasting? Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ara'aita law madta wa anta sa'im. What if you leave your mouth while fasting? He said, nothing. He said, fama, that is why action. But this must not lead towards ejaculation, according to most scholars. And the play or the kissing must not lead towards insertion. If this happens, the person has lost the fasting. And if it is insertion, it calls for kafara, that is setting free a slave. In the absence of that, the person fasts 2 months consecutively. If he is unable to do that, then he will feed 64 people. So this is on فَالْآنَ بَاشِرْهُنَّ وَابْتَغُوا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ, that in the day you cannot do that. You can't do that. So scholars, they have difference of opinion on masturbation, though majority of the scholars said it invalidates. On my view, most scholars said it does not invalidate. So kissing, this, it is permissible, on condition that it doesn't lead you to things that have been mentioned. Now, another thing that the scholars have a difference of opinion on is the issue of al-hijama, copying. Scholars, they have difference of opinion. Some scholars are of the opinion that if a fasting person does copy, that he has, some scholars are of the opinion that he has lost his fasting. And this is the view of the Hanabila. And they base the argument on the hadith after al-hajim wal-mahjum. The one, the copper and the copsh, both of them have lost their fasting. However, this hadith is said to be mansukh by the majority of the scholars, who are of the opinion that if somebody is caught, that and the person is fasting, his fasting is intact, that the hadith of Afar al-Hajim wal-Mahjum is mansukh, has been abrogated. What abrogated it? He says, this is abrogated by the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, which was reported by Imam Bukhari and others. The hadith says what? After a Nabi, ihtajama Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa huwa sa'im. There is another report, is ihtajama Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa huwa muhrimun. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam practiced hijama while he was in state of ihram. So there is a wording. Why? He was in state of what? Fasting. So some scholars said that wa huwa muhrimun is not authentic. That is, it's not the correct wordings of the hadith. وَهُوَ مُحْرِمٌ وَهُوَ صَائِمٌ is not the correct wordings of the hadith. وَهُوَ مُحْرِمٌ This is the one that is what? Correct. However, this report of وَهُوَ صَائِمٌ is in Sahih Bukhari. And it's said to be authentic. In addition to that, Anas radiallahu anhu was asked, أَكُنْتُمْ تَكْرَهُونَ الْحِجَامَةَ لِلصَّائِمِ Do you people, that is you companions, do you detest for a fasting person to practice hijama? Anas responded, لا إلا من أجل الطاعة. No, except for fear of being weak. Meaning does not invalidate fasting. And that was why it was reported that Ibn Umar, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Ibn Umar particularly, would practice hijama while fasting in the day. But later, he left it because of fear of what, being weak. He would do it at night. So all these are evidences that the jumhur of the scholars rely on to say that what hijama does not nullify the fast of a fasting one. And wallahu alam, this appears to be the stronger evidence or position. Though when we look at the aspect of what of weakness, one may say hijama should be practiced at night. So the same thing can be said of somebody who is donating blood. A fasting person that is going to donate blood, if he donates blood, has he lost his fast or not? So the same argument in hijama will be applicable here. Because somebody donating, for instance, a pint of blood, that's much. So it's likely to tell on his edge. So and that's why it is advisable that the one who is fasting should not donate blood. If there is a necessity for him to donate, then he shouldn't fast. He shouldn't fast. So his case would be the case of somebody who is breaking his fast or not fasting in order to assist the one who is what? Who is in problem. Just like the case of the mother that is nursing a child or that is pregnant. So, wallahu a'lam. If he donates, his fasting is still intact, according to the stronger opinion of the jumhur of the scholars. But it's not advisable that he donates and he remains what? Fasting. In fact, he will be advised medically to take food, to drink what? Take milk and malt and the likes. So, for somebody to not say what? He's going to continue his fasting after he has donated blood. That may be suicidal. So, and if he kills himself, he shouldn't blame anybody except himself. Now, the other thing is al-istimna, masturbation. I've mentioned masturbation, al-kayd, that is vomiting. The one who vomits, who is overpowered by vomit, there is consensus that it does not affect his fasting. But if he deliberately vomits, majority of the scholars, they said it invalidates his fasting. In fact, some people quoted Ijma on it, but this is incorrect. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, reported from Abu Uraira and some others that when you vomit deliberately, it does not invalidate. And it was said that Abu Uraira radiallahu anhu said, As-sawmu mimma dakhala wa laysa mimma kharaj. That is, fasting is what goes in, is from what goes in, not from what comes out. No, this is what is not general. It's something that is restricted. If it's from something that comes out, when somebody has sexual intercourse, what comes out? So, not general. But what I'm trying to say is that what? Whether vomiting, deliberate vomit, invalidates fasting or not. Majority says yes, but the minority says it does not. And this, as Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, is the view of Abu Uraira. Though Abu Uraira also reported the hadith of what Afkar al-Hadim wal-Mahjum. He reported the of Afkar al-Hadim wal-Mahjum. And you see, In the case of a German, something is what is going out. So these that you have mentioned, they all have to do with somebody. That is, if we assume that something breaks the fast, this is with respect to somebody who does that intentionally, not somebody who does it forgetfully. The one who eats or drinks forgetfully, his fasting is still intact, according to the majority of the scholars. And this is based on the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man nasiya fa'akala aw shariba huwa sa'im falyutimma sawmah. Whoever forgets and he eats or drinks while fasting, he should complete his fast. فَإِنَّمَا أَطْعَمَهُ اللَّهُ وَسَقَاهُ. Allah has fed him. Allah has given him what to drink. So this is the view of the majority of the scholars. Contrary to the Malikiyya, who are of the opinion that the person has no fast. Why? They said because whoever eats and drinks has lost his fast. So how are we going to exempt this? Well, this is the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the one who does that deliberately, not somebody who does it forgetfully. Secondly, the person must have done it willingly, not somebody who is compelled to do it. Maybe at some point somebody said, break your fast, otherwise I break your edge. And the person breaks the fast by eating or drinking. So what is correct is that such a person is fasting and stays intact. This is what is correct. Though a lot of scholars are of the opinion that if you have broken it, you have broken it. Unlike what the case of forgetfulness, that you have what a hadith back in it. But this now, there is no direct hadith that is back in it. So that's why some scholars said the fasting has been broken. But when we look at the hadith that says that إن الله تجاوز لأن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان وما استكرهوا عليه. ماذا ريبوت؟ رفع عن أمتي الخطأ والنسيان وما استكرهوا عليه. So the majority of scholars they use this as what is supporting evidence. But some said, no, this has to do with what? Somebody being punished. He won't be punished since he's forced. But will he have to pay back? He said, those who say have to pay back, he said, that hadith cannot really be used as evidence. But because we are talking about paying back, we are not talking about being sinful. It's not sinful because it's forced, but you'll have to pay back. But Allahu A'lam, the favorite opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, and some others is that such a person is fast, is still what? Intact. Then the person must have done it. I've mentioned what? Deliberately. Okay, I've mentioned the one who does it deliberately, not forgetfully. So the one who does it willingly, not somebody who is forced to do it. Then the person must have done it aliman, that is, knowingly. Not somebody who does it and jahlin, ignorantly. At times somebody may not know that this thing is one of the validators of the fast. So according to Ibn Taymiyyah and a lot of scholars, they are of the opinion that if one does it ignorantly, that this does not affect one's fasting. That is, the fasting is intact. Unless if the person does it knowingly and ignorantly. Knowingly and ignorantly, how? Knowingly that he knows that this thing is wrong to do. Like the one who knows it is wrong to have sexual intercourse with his wife in the month during the day of Ramadan. But he's ignorant of what the penalty, like the case of that man. He's ignorant of the penalty. So such a person will have to pay back. And that is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked that man to what? To pay back and do the kafara. To do kafara. Because he knew the what? that this thing is wrong. He knew the hukmu. He knew the hukmu. But he doesn't know what? He doesn't know the penalty. So the one who knows the hukmu, the ruling, but doesn't know the penalty will be measured out to him. Like somebody who knows that zina is haram, but he doesn't know that the one who commits zina will be given 100 lashes if the person is what? Is not married. And if he's married, he will be stoned to death. So the fact that he doesn't know the penalty to be measured out to him doesn't mean what? He will be here of the punishment. So this somebody is what we want to remind us of. Though these are things that we are already aware of, but just as a reminder, we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our wada. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى وصحبه اجمعين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت
Now, the question, certain drugs when inhaled produce soothing effects to the extent that the person does not feel hunger during fasting. What do you have to say about this, sir?
If it is before the Tulu' al-Fajr, then there is no harm. But if it is after that, then that is not something that is okay. Allahu a'lam.
The 6-year-old boy or child that is fasting, is the reward going back to him?
Yes, inshallah, the boy has the reward. Though it's not compulsory on him. Just like the woman that took her child to perform Hajj, and she asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Alihada Hajj? Does this have Hajj? The Messenger of Allah said, Naam, walakin Hajj. He has Hajj, and you also have what? Reward.
Okay. Can we make dua and say, Lola Ramadan?
There is no evidence for things like this. Lola Ramadan or Lola Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No evidence. Though some scholars, they did not take that of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as too seriously as others. So somebody will say, Bijayi Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not as bad as somebody will say, Ola Makkah, Ola Medina, things like that. Though all is bid'ah. Wallahu a'lam.
What's the ruin of shaving the dead because of sitting in jail or sustenance? And secondly, the ruin of Salatul Tasbih.
As for Salatul Tasbih, scholars in Ifa concerning the authenticity of the hadith, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala is of the opinion that the hadith is authentic. Why our scholars in Hijaz, Sheikh Mubarak, Ibn Uthaymeen, and many others are of the opinion that the hadith is not authentic? And this is the favored opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam Ahmad, and many others. Allah. Now, for shaving of the beards because one is looking for job or so, this is not something that is okay. It is sinful. Allah.
If you are working in a company, trying to work in the site, you are working in the ministry, like the Ministry of Culture and Tourism, and you are asked to go and cover an event like Ogun Festival or Oya Festival or whatever, all of this, Shekiyat, what should a Muslim do?
إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين. So what is halal is clear, and what is haram is clear. So if you ask to cover Ogun festival, cover Oya festival, Oshun Shibu festival, you know that what you are asking to do is something that is what? Shirk. That is what you are asked to cover is shirk. So promoting such a thing is evil. So asking questions like this doesn't provide any soft landing. So the ruling is already known. Allahu Akbar. Subhanaka Allahumma hamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.